T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I hate to sit here. Here we are, whatever, 7 starts into the season, and I'm making excuses again, and I'm not making excuses, but there just hasn't been much continuity at all to his season. And a lot of that is his own doing, but there hasn't been a lot of just the kind of normalcy, the routine that you need to get into a little bit of a groove. And as he's back now from the disabled list and hopefully healthy for the remainder of the season.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That was Jim Hickey with the morning show, Mully and Hanley on The Score. Audio brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
I like the Hickman on Mully and Hanley. I didn't catch him today, but I've heard him several times this year from a guesting standpoint. That's quite an upgrade from the last pitching coach.
Yeah.
This guy seems a little bit more user-friendly, would be one term, even though I don't like to make excuses, but let me give you about 90 seconds of excuse.
He's at least awake.
That's often an asset.
Yeah, well, for the morning radio interview can be a tough one, and then for the baseball culture,
yes,
that's so late night, really tough. Now, obviously, he's not a player. He's a coach, so it's a little bit less of a night owl, but yeah, sometimes Bossio, I was like, I can just picture him in a hotel bed, lights are off, and he got the call to the room.
Uh-huh.
Hello. So, yeah, it's a good segment.
Parco, I just perused our Bovada account, and it is sitting firmly at $1,624.33.
Nice.
I have got one that just jumps off the page at me tonight. Actually, there are a couple ways to cut this up. The Cubs are -112 against the Braves. That screams play the Cubs, doesn't it?
I think I have an automatic, if the Cubs are underdogs, you fire on them.
And that's close enough to being a dog.
Yeah, it's close enough.
It's ish.
Underdog-ish. We're the show of ish.
Brandon McCarthy's pitching. He's been tattooed. He's 8 starts this year, and he's been awful.
All right. I'm in. What do you want?
I think his earned run average is 5.5 something, and his whip is Fulmerian. It rivals Carson Fulmer.
Okay, well then let's do it. Don't hold back, Danny Mac.
$500. Nah, we don't have to spend that much.
I was going to say I'd hold back a little bit more than that.
Yeah, don't you blood. And the total is 9.5. If you're interested in that, on the run line, the Cubs are -1.5 at +150.
I don't like run lines in baseball. Like I generally stay away.
I generally do too. And then Shep and I moved on it the other day, and it wound up being a winner. So all of a sudden, it's the best way to do it.
I mean, those Cubs Sox odds were—it would be idiotic to put 270 down or whatever the heck it was we'd have to do to make $100. I don't even know what we ended up betting on the 50, but or on the run line. But the payoff just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, we bet $6,250 to win 50, laying a run and a hook.
Yeah,
$1.5.
Lot of one-run baseball games, boys.
Sox don't play many of them. They did today. Pesky little buggers.
Yeah. All right, so fire away.
Marte's not in the lineup. Their catcher's not in the lineup. Doesn't matter. White Sox come up short. But a nice effort by Hector Santiago. He'll be staying on the base, at least for the short term.
I know you're always interested in the effort. So there we go. All right, so yeah, so fire away at will, Commander, on any sort of Cubs wager that you want. But yeah, I definitely think we should have a show rule that if the Cubs are underdogs, we fire
ish.
Away.
If the ish. Cubs are underdogs-ish.
Yeah, I prefer straight underdogs, but plus money with the Cubs is nice.
You like the Cubs -112?
Yeah, so I didn't realize that they were facing Brandon McCarthy tonight, because Tyler Chatwood, I'm scared to death. I think that he has a bad outing coming before too long, but I don't guarantee that's necessarily tonight, and even if it is, I don't look at the Braves and be like, yep, they're going to shut down the Cubs lineup today, because McCarthy is the kind of pitcher the Cubs should tattoo.
They should. They absolutely should.
They need Chatwood to go deep.
Yeah, they do.
Doubleheader coming up on Saturday. Montgomery getting into the game yesterday.
Right. Cramping last night.
Yeah, they could use a deep one.
Tyler Chatwood, by the way, shares the league lead in what category?
walks?
Walks allowed, yes. He's keeping Lucas Giolito company at the top of the list of free passes.
We're number one. We're number one.
But what a treat that here in Chicago we get to see two atop the leaderboard.
I was
going to
say, we've been complaining about Quintana, complaining about Darvish. We have a league leader in pitching departments, and we're not getting the love to.
It's elite.
There are some things about which we have complained that have turned themselves around, and it's worth noting. I complain about on-base percentage as much as anybody on the air staff who I listen to a lot. I am a big OBP guy. I want my guys on base. Even though it lengthens the game, I want my guys on base. The Cubs have
ascended.
I want
to know who is anti-OBP, by the way. Shep, can you find the hosts on the air that are very
I think I'm going to be calling one of them later.
You reference OPS more than you do on base percentage.
I see. So as a stat. No one is anti-OBP.
No, not anti, but they're not always selling it. You hear people talking about their war and all that.
Weighted on base percentage?
Yes. The Cubs have ascended to number three in baseball in on base percentage, and they have picked themselves up off the canvas and have moved up to a tie for 13th in walks. What were they a week ago? 23rd or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're being more selective over the short term. They're 7th in baseball in OPS with a 761 and 8th in slugging.
Amazing what a week against the White Sox and the Marlins will get you.
No kidding.
Well, it's also don't panic, right? Like that's a small sample that's made them jump from 23rd to 13th in a week. Like a lot of things are still – the samples are so small that it's still changing – really quickly.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Right.
So they're going to be fine. And it's why people are weird, and I know social media skews negative, so I really try not to respond too much to it. But it's like there can be criticisms of individual things with a baseball team while not thinking that the overall direction of a team is going in a bad place, right? Like both of those
things. I know that.
Yeah, like both of those things can exist.
Uh-huh.
And so like I was pointing out about Darvish, like, man, like, add it to the list. Like, he's had the flu, and now he has leg cramps, and he had forearm cramps in the opener against the Marlins, and he had the balk, and he walked the pitcher, and he's had these things. And people just keep coming at me, and they're like, oh, that's such a meatball thing to say. What are you talking about?
Like, it's the fourth highest contract in team history, and forgetting that, you're counting on this guy to get you into October.
Well, and it's
or at least
true.
Get you to October.
Those are facts. Like, those have been the things that have disrupted Yu Darvish to this point this season. I didn't make it up. Like, the guy has struggled to get out of the fifth inning. The reasons that have been given afterwards have been things like the flu, leg cramps, forearm cramps, not being able to recover after walking the pitcher, thinking he got screwed on that balk call.
Do you have an earache, too? Or is that someone else?
I don't think he had an ear. I don't think he had an earache.
It's coming.
But so it's just like, it's just a little frustrating because I still think that Yu Darvish is a really good pitcher. And I think, so he's had these 7 starts. I think he'll have a 7 or 10 start stretch where he's among the best pitchers in baseball. Like, I still believe in the sample size and the body of work for Yu Darvish. But it doesn't mean when you're getting your first up-close-in-person look at your new $126 million acquisition
right. That
hearing all of those excuses isn't an annoyance.
Oh, it's absolutely annoying. It should annoy you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's critical for this team getting back in first place and staying there and building some distance.
Right, that's the goal, right, is to build some distance. Because their win pace is still good right now.
All you got to do is get to the playoffs, and you go with your 3 best starters. And if Darvish ain't among them, he's not among them. He's got to help you get there, though.
Right.
The bar has dropped this year for Yu Darvish already, whether we wanted it to or not. Right now, you're hoping to get 175 innings out of him. Is that how far we've gone?
I think, God, I hadn't thought about that yet. Yeah, I would guess the under comes in on that, right? So he's already missed one with the flu, and then he struggled to go deeper than 5 a handful of times.
Yes, more often than not. I think he's only gone into the 6th, one time?
He'll probably approach that. That'll probably be right around where he ends up.
He's averaging under 5 innings an outing.
Right now.
Like 34 innings and 7 starts. That's with a missed start. Like, he'll have to turn it around considerably in order to knock out the door 175.
So
I would fly under that. Fly, I guess you'd fly over something. What did you do under
it? Crawl under.
No, you could fly under it.
Yeah, sure.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Shep, how you feeling about that Contreras bet?
He's starting to heat up a little.
Yeah,
20's a long way to go, though. Plus, just, he can't have the Venezuelan flag on his arm now, so maybe that means less home runs.
No, I don't think he will.
No?
So you do not think that Wilson Contreras will get to 20 home runs this year? He's at 4 so far.
Yeah, I would still bet against that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very confident. I'm not selling a single share of Contreras stock.
See, I'm a pass on this wager. I could see it going either way, so I'm going to keep my money in my pocket. Shep referenced the Puerto Rican underarms, the armwear.
Venezuelan,
sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
I agree with baseball. And this might surprise you. I agree with baseball in telling Ben Zobrist to wear blue shoes. Those are the colors of your baseball team. Wear the same colors. That's always bothered me. I'm not going to stomp up and down over it and pound my fists on the console in front of me. But I think when you're on the field, you're not representing Venezuela. You're not representing the old guard of baseball players in Ben Zobrist's case, which that's supposed to be a tribute to. You're representing the Chicago Cubs as they are constructed today. Wear the Cubs uniform. That's all.
Hmm. I love individualism. Like, yeah, they're on a team, but as long as they're still wearing a Cubs jersey, I know what team they're on. So like, they're still representing the Cubs while they're wearing the jersey and the hat.
Did you notice the Cardinals series recently where there were 3 or 4 players with different colors of sleeves under their uniform?
Yeah, there's a Hawaiian one. There's a neon one.
No. Do that. You don't want to go play 12-inch softball. You can do that out there.
Why?
This is Major League Baseball. You're supposed to be uniform.
Why? It is a uniform.
They are uniformed.
No, they're not uniform if they're not matching. That's what a uniform means.
So why can't some people wear high socks and some people wear low socks?
That's a style choice, I think they would say.
Aren't shoes a style choice?
What's that?
Aren't shoes a style choice?
Why would an arm sleeve of your native country?
Still, what's uniform is the color of the shoes. Everybody else is wearing blue. So to keep it uniform, I'm not saying I got anything against black shoes. I think they all should look the same.
I realize you don't have anything against black shoes. I think in general, individualism is a good thing. Like in life, in society, in sports.
Yes.
In sports.
Okay.
Like it's for baseball, we had a conversation earlier with Jeff Passan about superstars and Q rating and marketability and how the best baseball players in the world, many of them could walk down Michigan Avenue and 98% of the city that has 2 baseball teams in town would not know who they are.
I believe that to be true.
Well, little things to highlight the individuality of a player that makes you get to know them more, I think goes in a direction of helping that. Like, the idea that Bryce Harper would have to shave his facial hair if he goes to the Yankees is really dumb. Let Bryce Harper be himself. There's unbelievable atrocities happening in Venezuela that Wilson Contreras is like sending money back to and raising awareness of.
That's all good. Just I don't need to see it on your uniform.
Okay.
Joey Cora wore a pin on his hat years ago, and I gave it to him for that.
No, I mean, I believe you're being consistent on it, but just in general, it's like, in sports, it's okay, for me anyway, to like, I like touchdown dances.
I do too, but I don't want a uniform that isn't uniform. Those are different things. Individualism is fine if it's an expression that isn't something that is physical on your person.
I see.
To me,
that's the distinction.
That Cubs uniform is all you need to be representing.
What about writing on your cleats?
I don't have a problem with that as long as they're blue.
As long as they're blue.
Yeah.
Okay. What about in basketball where guys wear different shoes all the time?
It's not against the rules. I think it looks kind of silly if one guy's got white shoes, one guy has black shoes, one guy has red shoes. I think that looks silly. But it's not against the rules, and it doesn't necessarily fly in the face of not being a member of the Bulls.
Right. Okay. No, it's just interesting to me because, like I said, I thought this controversy seemed very petty from Major League Baseball. Like, who is hurt by Ben Zobrist wearing black shoes? Who is the victim?
Nobody.
No.
That's a victimless. Yeah, it's not an egregious behavior on his part. I'm not suggesting it is. I just think they all should look similar. Uniform. It should be uniform.
Yeah, and I think they do because they're all wearing Cubs uniforms, but I see your situation.
The NFL takes it way too far. I mean, they have players get inspected before the game to make sure the socks are up to the appropriate length, that everybody's wearing the same cleats. They're way over the top with the enforcement of that stuff.
Yes, they are. Like they are with most things in the NFL.
Yes, it's all about integrity.
Right, just ask them. A lot of people are asking the question of, was the tank worth it for the Bulls? I think that's the wrong question. I think a better question is, did the tank work? We can have that conversation coming up, and some spectacular audio needs to be played for a random reason, but any opportunity is a good one to play this for you. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. McNeil and Parkins on the Score. We found a disagreement, Mac. A generational divide, if you will, on uniforms.
Yeah, it's taken us so long to get here, hasn't it?
No, we've had others.
Well, uniforms, the uniform is more than a garment. The word uniform means consistency.
Yeah.
That's what uniform means. So yeah. I think that's what baseball was asking for with Ben Zobrist. Do they have bigger worries? Yeah. I see empty ballparks all over when I watch MLB Network. And is it silly for them to? Maybe. I agree with them, but I'm not saying it's not a critical issue with me. I don't roll around bed at night and lose sleep over this. I just understand their point, and I agree with it. And I think the sleeves underneath the jerseys also should be uniform.
Yeah, and I like ways for players to express individuality within the uniform. They can wear jewelry. They can have different walk-up songs. They can wear different brands of things.
Yes.
Different brands of shoes.
Sure, as long as they're all the same color.
Different batting gloves. You know what I mean? There's so many things. And then when baseball says throwback uniform day, or green uniform day, or camouflage uniform day, yeah, or pink uniform day, it's not like the uniform is so sacred that they never change it. It's just they can only change it how they want to. I like the idea of some players, especially because it's such an international game. Like, shoe color, okay, fine, I never even noticed, but Wilson Contreras repping his country, I think is kind of cool. But regardless, this audio, I had not thought about this in a long time, but you brought it up and it made me smile. Why are we playing the George Brett poop story today?
It's his birthday. It's his birthday. And if George Brett were in Vegas with his fat buddies, I'm sure he'd be going to get a big pile of crabs that may be just a little bit tainted. This is special, ladies and gentlemen.
Pardon. The left side. My pants last night. I'm good twice a year for that. When was the last time you your pants?
Me?
Yeah. Been a while? I was in Vegas a couple years ago. Jeez. Just an honest to God true story. Staying at the Bellagio. I went over to the Mirage for dinner, met some friends of mine over there. The guy brings out some fresh crab legs. I'm eating them. I'm walking back to the hotel. I get three quarters away out of the lobby, and all of a sudden I go, oh. And I'm standing here like this. I got my butt pinched. I can't move. All of a sudden, you know, felt all right. I went just like this. Water. I had some food poisoning from the crabs. Take off my leather jacket, tied it around my waist, and I'm just standing there, and it's just running down my leg. And I just start walking. Every time I'm walking, something's coming out. It's water. Straight water. Then, to check how sick I was, tell you how sick I was, and then I'm standing outside, I thought, get on my cell phone. I said, Larry, you won't believe this. I'm standing outside the Bellagio. I can't move. I got everywhere. All over myself. So he brings me over a pair of pants and a and some towels, and some towels. He goes in, he finds the closest bathroom, goes and gets the towel all wet for me. I take off all my clothes, just wipe off, leave my shoes, left my shoes, my pants, everything right there, the towels right there in the stall. Got up in the morning, took the most perfect double taper I've ever had in my life. True story. Who's the pitchers in this game?
I love the out cue. Just
the
like it was a daily conversation. If you've never seen the video, The person to whom George Brett is speaking is a young kid with a jersey number in the upper 70s just trying to earn a roster spot in Royals training camp.
Yeah, it's a spring training story, and he's just shooting the beep, if you will, and telling a story of some pants leaking.
The ball players were in their pre-workout stretching routine, and Brett just picks one of them and says, I crap my pants, and just tells him the whole story. That poor kid. And he tells the story so well. He didn't have a sense of humor about it, though.
George Brett?
George didn't. No.
Yeah, he doesn't love being known for that, no, hemorrhoids and being a colossal POS.
If the Depends fit, wear them.
Yeah, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, something that George Brett's not good at.
Right. Apparently not.
No, it's just unfortunate. Everyone in Kansas City has a George Brett's a jerk story.
That's an endorsement, isn't it?
Yes. Come on. Yeah, there's money to be made off of that story.
Brand new adult man purse.
Will you drop it? I'm dead serious.
Scoreboard update.
5:30 from the CDW Update Studio, David Schuster. Just hearing his voice just makes me laugh sometimes.
Thank you, David Schuster. One of the great questions of today's show. How many times did Dan Plesac say the word Dan in our conversation?
Yes, this has been under video review at the league office.
I counted. We set the over-under at 19.5 because his first appearance was 28 times. We knew it was going to be a shorter appearance today, so we set it at 19.5. I counted exactly 19. Shep and Shane counted 20. We will get to that coming up in a few minutes. Shane has gone back and done a Zapruder film-like analysis.
Oh, you don't have the answer right now? Well, that's quite a tease.
I want to keep him waiting, Mac.
TSL, baby.
I want to keep him waiting. This is the important stuff that we get to the bottom of the ish show.
Yes.
Okay, we get there.
I thought we were going to get our resolution right
no,
here.
No, no.
I've been so let down now.
Keep him waiting.
Okay.
Well, I want to talk about the Bulls because I see the question being asked of, like, was the tank worth it? Because last year is miserable, and you get the 7th overall pick as a reward. The answer to that in a vacuum is, of course, no, but we can't just analyze it like that, right? Like, the goal of the tank was to get a top 3 pick, was to get a chance at a truly game-changing generational talent, and those, by and large, come at the top of the draft. So I would say that the tank was worth it, but last year it didn't work. And maybe that's parsing in a little bit, but they needed to trade Jimmy Butler and tear it down. Like,
yes,
the Rondo, Wade, Butler thing.
But unless you were bringing in a new coaching staff, that wasn't going to work.
Right. So if you got, and you got a piece out of that, and we don't know exactly how good of a piece LaVine is yet. We don't know exactly how good of a piece Dunn is. And we don't know how good of a piece Markkanen is. But I think it's, from where I sit anyway, it's fairly clear that Lauri Markkanen is going to be a good player. And it's now a question of how good is he going to
be. Yeah, I'm not willing to go higher than good at this point. I need to see a lot more.
Okay.
I would think you do too. I would think most people feel that way. Good start, yeah, but not knocked out of our chairs just yet.
Right. Better than I thought, though. He exceeded my expectations for his rookie year. If you did a redraft right now, most people think Donovan Mitchell would go 1, Jason Tatum would go 2, and Lauri Markkanen would go 3.
Mm-hmm.
They got him at 7. So that's pretty good. Like, early returns of the value there is pretty good. So I don't think that you could say the tank wasn't worth it, because that implies that you had something before tanking that was worth keeping around, and they didn't. But now the question is, given that last year it didn't work and they get the 7th pick again, and how hard and unlikely it is that you get transcendent star players at 7, yes, it's possible, but as I pointed out earlier, it's much more likely at the top of the draft than 7th. Only 4 of the last 18 years, the best player in a draft was available at 7 or lower. So it's very difficult.
The kid did some homework, ladies and gentlemen. He came in with a big pile of numbers, and he backs his thesis with these numbers. First, second, and third players chosen almost invariably are the difference makers, star players.
Yeah, because people are quoting, when you say, well, last year Donovan Mitchell was the best player at 13, so you can get a great player at 7, you're basically saying, well, Kurt Warner's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they found him bagging groceries, so go to Mariano's and find a grocer, and he could be your next great quarterback. Like, you're arguing the exception rather than the rule. Like, you don't go to the 6th round to get quarterbacks because that's where the Patriots found Tom Brady. Giannis, Kawhi Leonard, Donovan Mitchell, and Steph Curry are the 4 best players in their draft that were available at 7 or later. The number 1 pick has been the best player 7 times. The number 1 pick has been the 2nd best player 3 times. And the number 1 pick has been the 3rd best player 2 times. So overwhelmingly at the top of the draft is where you need to be. And so now my question is, what do you do? Like, how do you go get the best player on the title team? And I wanted to ask John Paxson. Maybe he'll be on the show tomorrow. We're not sure. The combine stuff is apparently running late. We've been in touch with them. He will be on the station soon, I'm sure. We're hoping it'll be with us. But whenever it is, we'll listen to it. But the question that I've wanted asked and answered from John Paxson since the end of the season is, when the Bulls are ready to compete again, whatever that looks like, title team, Eastern Conference final, whatever, is the best player on that team on the roster right now? I think the answer is no.
I agree with you.
And if that's the case, your best shot at getting that player was this draft. Because next year, you'll be better than the seventh worst team in the NBA. And it's really rare where those transcendent players leave in free agency, and great free agents have never picked the Bulls. And then maybe you could trade for one. Like, maybe you could trade for Kawhi or Russell Westbrook or whomever, like Anthony Davis in a couple years, whatever it is. But, like, then you're giving up a bunch of other assets in order to get that piece. So you've got to build your team. And we're going to watch the two best teams in the NBA tonight, Houston and Golden State, and just think about how far away the Bulls are from that. They can't be giving up assets to go get another piece. Like, you've got to build it through the draft and then supplement it in free agency. And it's just so damn hard to get superstars with the seventh overall.
Let me ask you a stupid question, okay?
Yeah.
When all the NBA people came in town last night for the lottery, how did they get here? Did they fly? No, I'm not going to
get here.
Are the 7th and 22nd picks, which is what the Bulls have, are they worth anything to move up? Would anybody – could you find a taker to move up to 5 for those two picks if they had somebody they liked?
Maybe to 5.
That's as far as it goes, because 22 gets you a 13th body.
Yeah, 22 is very little value. I would be surprised – you could probably move up to 6 –
tops.
I'd be surprised if it was 5. And Pax.
Too bad Ryan Pace isn't there. He loves moving up one slot, huh?
Yeah, well, listen, that's the thing, right? You can give future firsts if you really wanted to. You could trade a piece that's not a foundational piece. Like, you could, like, maybe, like, Denzel Valentine has value, but he's not going to be a great player, right? Bobby Portis has value. Like maybe you could piece a young player who's proven that he'll be good in the league for a little bit, but not great.
Serviceable
to move up, and young would be key there too. But I think they're going to pick at 7, and I think they'll pick at 22, and I have advocated, and barring any news coming out about health between now and then, I'm advocating for the home run swing. And that has not been John Paxson's MO. He has gone for big program, multi-year college player,
right,
high floor. You know what I mean? That's what he's gone for.
You're talking about the kid with the back issues, Porter.
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr. I just think logically. You know, I always try to think about this stuff logically. Like, if you don't have the best player on a title team on your roster now, you need a guy with a really high ceiling, even if that comes with some red flags and some bust potential. And I'm willing, if he busts, you could say, Parkins, you're the idiot who has the bad back and then advocated for drafting the kid with the bad back. And I'll say, okay, fine, you got me. But at least I'm daring to be great. The worst thing the Bulls can do here is get Mikal Bridges, who's going to be solid, who will be like the 7th best player on a good team or the 6th best player on a good team, and in 2 years, you're a 45-win team. You're the 6th seed, and that's where you peak.
That's what everybody calls NBA hell.
Yeah, I got no interest in that.
I got interest in playoff experience for guys who are going to be important pieces for the long haul, but only if they're going to be there for the duration.
Oh, yeah, I'm
not
cool
short-termers.
Yeah, I'm cool with the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed next year or the year after. Like, it's not like you go from awful to the Warriors. Yeah, I mean, Embiid got good playoff experience this year. Giannis got a 7-game series this year. Like, yeah, you Anthony Davis got more playoff experience this year. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you build incrementally in the NBA. But I'm just saying, if you don't take a big swing here coming up soon, I'm worried that you're just going to peak. Like, you're competing with Philly and Boston in the East. Philly has Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and $25 million in cap space. Boston has the best coach in the league, Jaylen Brown, who's under 21, Jason Tatum, who's under 21, Rozier, who's young, and Kawhi and Hayward. and Horford, who's an all-star. Like, you're competing with some really good young teams. So I'd swing for the fences. My guy right now is Porter.
What do you have to lose? Nothing. It's really. Just, I mean, if you're just going to find a body, just a guy, that's not, like you said, though, that's not how he's operated historically. And he's been at it for more than 15 years.
Yeah.
Johnny Jump Shot. He'll join us tomorrow.
I'm sure.
I'm confident.
I'm sure he will. And hey,
he'll be fine.
The chips fell where they may, so get a good player at 7. I understand that. But you're going to be better next year than you were this year. So it's just going to be that much harder to get that transcendent game-changing piece as you go forward. We will answer the question that you've all been waiting for of how many times did Dan Plesak say Dan next on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins on The Score, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Sometimes life keeps you home. That's why B-Dubs has online ordering for takeout, so you can stay put when life makes you. Visit BuffaloWildWings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. So we've bet the Cubs tonight. Shep giving us tremendous information. The Braves are 5-0 on Wednesdays, he writes, for whatever that's worth. Shep, I can assure you it's worth nothing.
Okay, I just read it and I was like, someone else needs to have this information to at least make it worthwhile for me reading it.
You guys read the Max 10 Commandments
there,
of Gambling?
There you go, Shane. I was just going to reference. I think it's number 7. Don't lean on trends.
That's right.
Cubs are also 0-5 this year in the second game of a road series.
These are dumb trends, Shep.
Yeah. You know, I will look at a trend if I absolutely have to play the game. And when I do have to play a game just to have action, I play a very little bit. But if I'm torn, if I really don't know, that's when I will look at a trend.
Okay,
last.
But, right, but that is information overload, right? Like, you could talk to baseball players and say, what day of the week is it? And often they don't know.
Right.
Because all their days just run together. So right. I don't think that they're like, oh, I'm going to play worse on Wednesdays. We've got to break this Wednesday curse of the Braves. But Andy Reid being like 15-2 off the bye, that's a season-long sample for his career. And it's like, oh, Andy Reid teams off of byes are really good because he has extra time to print. That is a trend worth looking at.
And I note that in my column. I said, you know, and I didn't use Andy as an example. I used John Harbaugh and Bill Belichick after byes because they have very similar records. Even after extended time off, you play the Thursday night game and then you get the weekend and another full week. John Harbaugh at one point was unbeaten in something like 8 chances. That's a trend worth something to me. If you say, you talk about Patriots, Bills, oh, my God, the Bills haven't covered in Foxborough since 1980. Well, you know what? This year's matchup has nothing to do with all of that negative equity that's accrued.
Right. But the TNT Bulls, that is a streak worth believing in. All right. Dan Plesak was on the show earlier. Your friend. How far you guys go back? High school?
Yes.
Okay.
So I got a little John Elway in me.
Trick question. My bad. I apologize. My bad. The first time he was on, he said, when he found out that my name is Danny and you're Dan McNeil and he's Dan Plesak, he leaned into it, but I think unintentionally, and said Dan 28 times.
Mm-hmm.
So this time we put a little montage together. He was not aware of this. And of those 28, we wanted to figure it out. We set the over-under at 19.5 for this appearance. I counted 19. Shane and Shep, our executive producer, counted 20. The over-under was 19.5. Mac and I put $20 on it. So this is the definitive answer to whether or not Dan Plesak said Dan 19 times or 20 times.
Dan, I'm doing good. Dan, I'm doing good. Dan, I'm doing good. This is like Dan Square today, is it? Hey, you picked up my spirits, Dan. Dreadful today. Dan, I want to see this. I want to see what this guy can do. I guess what it does, too, and it shows you, Dan, it is. And, Dan, you know what makes it more frustrating? You're seeing a lot of walks. But, Dan, I'm telling you this. Dan, unfortunately, that's what happens with a lot of young pitching. I'm disappointed because I actually, Dan, I really thought that at 10-29, Dan, they got to be better than this. Got to be patient, and Dan, it sucks. All I can tell you is it can change fast, Dan. But he's got to pitch better than he's pitching right now, Dan. There's Sunday. And, Dan, it's almost like a guy that's afraid he throws 98. He's afraid to throw the ball in the strike zone. And I'm not trying to be critical. Let's do it again. Go Griffith Panthers. And don't lead off too far, Dan. I'll pick your ass off.
20.
Got to 20.
Got to 20.
Did I hear a Dan in there, or was that it? Was that an edit?
There were a couple doubles and a triple, so I think that's where the textures were missing out.
There's a triple at the start. I thought Shane just rolled it in, and it was like a misplay. It's like, Dan.
He's very excited. He's an excitable Dan Plesak.
He says hi to himself.
I have 20 on
Dan,
me right now.
Dan. Oh, hey, Dan.
Don't worry about it. You could tip the server tomorrow when he shows up.
What are we doing tomorrow?
Big pile of food coming in tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I wanted to make it happen today, but I was a little bit late on the draw. Shane, for helping us out for a few days, come on in for lunch tomorrow,
too. Sweet. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Lovely. Well, that's exciting.
Big pile of food.
I love that. That's what my cardiologist says. He's like, you want to be measuring your food based on the size of the pile. That's the advice that all cardiologists are giving people these days. So Chatwood tonight, huh?
Yeah, Tyler Chatwood tonight.
Maybe he'll walk some people.
He leads the league in walk. Well, he shares the lead with Lucas Giolito. And the White Sox already have lost to the Pirates, so that's not in the way tonight. We got NBA basketball, and we have NHL hockey, game 3 of the West. And
I shut it down.
Holding out some hope that my guys can hang on and knock those Vegas Golden Knights out, because no team in year number one has developed a fan base that knows the sufferings of the tortures of the damned like a Cubs fan knows, like a Washington Capitals fan knows. Let those fans suffer in Vegas for a while first.
Thank you to Vinny Goodwill, who was in the lottery room last night to see the Bulls fall to the 7th overall pick. Jeff Passan, with his inane definition of superstar, on the show with us today. Can't Do It was lively if you missed the podcast. Dan Plesak, we appreciate his time. We'll catch up with John Paxson soon. I'm confident, right?
Yeah, yes. There's no reason not to be. Why am I struggling to affirm everything?
I don't know.
That's the second question you've asked me in 9 minutes.
These aren't complicated questions.
Is the sky blue? It is.
Blue. You want this data of the last 18 NBA drafts?
Data or data?
Sure. No, that was a good list.
It was a good list. Yeah. Some people were debating a couple of them, but, you know. That's what lists
are. You backed your thesis with facts.
That's what I try to do. Thank you to David Schuster, who had the updates. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill is back tomorrow. Shane Reardon did a fantastic job in his place. Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. Zach Zaidman's coming up next with Cubs baseball. We're McNeil and Parkins back tomorrow at 1 on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.